Today on Real Radio.
That's why you see thousands of converts from Judaism to Christianity taking place under the preaching of Jesus and the apostles. It made sense. Christianity is built upon the Old Testament. It's all in harmony. No contradictions. No problems. But if you have it within your heart, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all that we'll see this morning, I will not change. This is the way the denomination's done it for 1,000 years, and we're not going to change that. If you've got that mindset, you're in for a rough ride in your Christian growth, if you're so blessed to have any growth.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. We'll be covering a good portion of chapter 4. In the first few verses, some of the disciples continue to evangelize, and thousands more receive the Messiah. Well, this had all occurred in the presence of some of the Jewish religious authorities, who weren't quite so happy about it. It's yet another example of how the old traditions had contributed to the truth being veiled. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study of Acts chapter 4 and verses 1 through 23. It's called The Old Meets the New.
I don't know where you were this week. At least two times, they tell us a couple hundred times, but two that you could feel, the earthquake. The earth moved again this past week, and haven't we gotten so nonchalant about it now? You know, the earth begins to take off, and we just kind of, oh, well, it's another earthquake, you know? But it's moving again, and the TV programs do the interruption, and they take you right to Caltech. Have you noticed how that goes? And they're all there in the Richter scales, Richtering, and the geologist is doing his thing, telling us all about it. And they told us that what is happening, the reason why all of the friction and all of the events that are taking place in the Southland right now is because the old is meeting the new. And that's really true. They told us that the Pacific Sea Plate that technically you and I live on right now, it doesn't end until it gets to the San Andreas Fault, which is a little north from us. So technically, we are living on the ocean bed. We are living on the Pacific Sea Plate, and the Pacific Sea Plate is moving towards Las Vegas, so to speak. And the continental plate is what it's rubbing up against. And that's why we're having all of this reaction. The one is coming upon the other, and there's friction, and because one is not willing to give over to the other, there is this pressure buildup, and then a slip takes place. And the result is you waking up very early in the morning. We have that same effect in the church. We have that same type of event, that seismology that takes place. Jesus told us in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, in verses 37 to 39, Jesus said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the old wineskins and the wine will be spilled out. Jesus also went on to say in verse 39 that no one having drunk the old wine immediately wants to receive the new wine. Isn't that true? Why? Because it's the old wine. It's the way we've done it. It's the way we're always going to do it. And that's the way it is. Any questions? When the old meets the new, there's a pressure buildup. When God begins a work, He so often, when He's on the move and wanting to do something new, He usually gets new people to do it. Not that He cannot use the old, but so often what happens is that the old are not willing to be used. And that's a very serious thing in the church. We are taught constantly, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. And we need to do that. We need to be very flexible. What if God was to speak to us and tell us next month something that doesn't sit well with us, but yet it's God speaking? We have people will fold their arms and begin to protest, because when old meets new, there's friction. And we're seeing that in the book of Acts this morning. What happens is the New Testament revelation of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, was truly an extension, or should I say a completion, of the Old Testament Judaism. Judaism was to give birth to this thing called Christianity. They were not to oppose one another. That's why you see thousands of converts from Judaism to Christianity taking place under the preaching of Jesus and the apostles. It made sense. Christianity is built upon the Old Testament. It's all in harmony. No contradictions. No problems. But if you have it within your heart, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all that we'll see this morning, I will not change. This is the way the denomination's done it for 1,000 years, and we're not going to change that. If you've got that mindset, you're in for a rough ride in your Christian growth, if you're so blessed to have any growth. Because so often as we begin, and here's what happens, if you were to pour new wine, which Jesus refers to as a new work of the Spirit, into old wineskins, and then you cork it, you know what happens? A chemical reaction begins to take place. What happens is those little molecules begin to dance around. They're real fresh. They're real active. They're brand new. They begin to rub up against each other. You touch the outside of the wineskin. It's getting warm. There's a catalyst that's taking place. There's activity. And then the air molecules that are in that little sealed wineskin begin to expand and heat up. And all of a sudden, that vase of the wineskin would be sitting on their wall, and it would explode. Because the old skin couldn't handle the new work. And Jesus Christ is going to show us, the Holy Spirit's going to show us this morning, what happens and on what authority is the Word of God to have dominance and reign and power in this world. And by the way, that power is available to us this morning. So we need to be very, very sensitive to the fact that in this introduction, we're talking about the old meeting the new. Now let's pick up at verse 1. Of chapter 4. Peter says there, or the scriptures tells us, Luke speaking, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus' name the resurrection from the dead." We'll stop here for right now. Remember last week, Peter and John were going at what time? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, remember? To the temple for prayer. They're going there and they see that lame man who hadn't walked for over 40 years. The old man, I didn't mean to say old man because I'm getting close to that age. Sorry if you're almost 40 years of age. I didn't mean that. Freudian slip maybe, I guess. I don't know. I should say that man had been there for a long time, saying alms for the poor. And Peter and John walk by, and Peter says, "Hey, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter grabs him by the right hand and lifts him up, and immediately the strength was delivered to his ankle bones and his leg bones, and the man stood aright, and he began to leap and jump and praise God and basically freak out over his new feet. And he was rejoicing. And we saw last week that a great crowd came together. They wanted to know what happened. And so Peter, the preacher that he is, opens up his Bible and begins to preach. And he begins to share with them by what authority and by what power all of these things had transpired. And so because of that wonderful event, we right now just enter into chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, "Now as they spoke to the people," listen now, "the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them." And I like this. The word "came upon" means they rushed urgently upon them. And we need to realize who these people are, first of all. Number one, the priests. There's hundreds of them to begin with. And there's 24 courses of priests, each one having his service for the year, 1 week at a time. Remember Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, John the Baptist's dad? It was his week to go in and do the offering of the prayers before the Lord. And these priests, hundreds of them. Well, it says that they came. We don't know how many, but Certainly quite a few, we're sure of that. And then it says the captain of the temple. Now, these guys are great. First of all, the Sadducees, we're coming to them in a moment. They had robes. The priest had robes. But the captain of the temple, they had like warfare gear on. I mean, they had like combat clothes. And they would sit, and they were actually the Levitical policemen of the temple area. And when they would see something drawing a crowd, they would say on their little, they had a microphone right here on their toga, you know. And what they would do, their job was, hey, we've got an uprising taking place. We need to send in some chariots, a couple horses. We need to check out what's going on. And that's exactly what they did. They would blow the trumpet. They would make an announcement. And they would get a garrison. And they would come and see what's going on. And this temple captain was head of that movement. They were policemen concerning religious affairs. And then the Sadducees. These guys are something. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. So guess what message Peter's going to preach? The Sadducees did not believe in miracles of the supernatural. So guess what they were going to find out about? A man had just been made whole. That's really going to rub them the wrong way. It's going to really tick them off. They're going to come denouncing supernatural events, not believing the resurrection. Very powerful men, very powerful, with these incredible robes. And you got to see this. They came rushing upon them. In the Greek, the word means that they came with outrage on them quickly. Verse 2 says, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe it. And you got to see this in your mind's eye. And I hope even by what I'm about to do, does not do justice to the Greek language that tells us exactly what happened in the original language. These guys are bent. And they picked up the announcement of the disturbance. So they get their stuff together and they're coming and they got their robes. And part of the mystique, you know, part of the atmosphere of being a priest and a Sadducee and a Pharisee and all was you're always supposed to be cool. You're never supposed to lose your cool because you're God's man. And you kind of move cool, you know. And they did things cool. And when they stood on the street corners, Jesus said they would take out, remember that little pinky trumpet? Remember tooting your own horn? We studied that in Mark. And they would, I give $1,000 to the temple. And they're real cool guys, you know. They would always announce stuff and brag, but they're cool. They look good while they're doing it. Well, this is great because they come running with outrage and they've got these robes on and they're in a hurry. And so they're coming and they're going like this, you know, with their skirts and their robes. And then they get like around the corner and they start acting real cool. We're cool. Now, just what's going on here? They get angry. They're fuming, but they're trying to be cool all the while. Very upset. And it says in verse 3, and they laid hands on them, it's Peter and John, and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So from our last study last week, that was at 3 o'clock. The healing takes place. The crowd gathers. Peter preaches a message. These guys come, and it's nearing now. From verse 3, we know about 6 o'clock in the evening. So just a couple of 3 hours have transpired since the healing of this man. But these guys are very, very much upset. And it's interesting to note, I found this interesting. I didn't realize this before. But in Scripture, we have accounts of Pharisees who believed in supernatural events and in the resurrection. We have accounts of Pharisees coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of them is Nicodemus, was a Pharisee. And the other one was Joseph of Arimathea, was a Pharisee. But in the Scriptures, we have not one record of a Sadducee being converted. Isn't that interesting? They don't believe in the supernatural. They were too analytical for all that stuff, they thought. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what brings you here. Maybe somebody promised you brunch after church, so you've come. Maybe you're just making an inquiry about Christian things, you know. Or maybe you're trying stuff out. Well, you know what? You need to listen closely and look at the claims of Jesus Christ, and we'll get into some this morning. But why are you here? Why did the crowd gather? What do you believe in? And let me ask you this. Do you believe in something worth dying for? Peter and John do. And it makes a major impact upon their lives. In fact, we'll see martyrdom, not martyrdom, excuse me, but persecution begin in this chapter against the church. Justin Martyr, the great theologian of ancient times, says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Satan's going to attack the church, but know this. Satan no longer desires to attack the church with persecution, because for the last 2,000 years, Satan's attempts via persecution have caused the church to grow mightily. So what Satan tries to do now to the church is marry a worldly influence into the body of Christ. Instead of the body of Christ being dynamic and powerful and separate from the world, Satan tries to get the church now to get worldly rather than persecuting them, which only causes them to grow stronger. And we'll see this. These guys have been arrested. On what grounds? Why? Verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word, that is Peter's preaching, many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And the word men in the Greek is men, not like mankind. It's actual male men, male men. We're saved. 5,000 of them. Not to mention how many women were converted. We don't know that. Peter preaches a sermon. These guys get converted. The healed man is standing there, jumping up and down, praising God. And there's a conversion of a great mass of people. And so what happens is, it says in verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day. So the morning comes, they're in prison. On the next day, that their rulers and elders and scribes came. Who are these guys? These are the lawyers. These are the guys who know the Bible. And notice that it says in verse 5 that it's their rulers and elders. Who do you think they are? Who are these guys? They are the ones who represent the spiritual welfare of the 5,000 guys just converted. Oh man, what's going on? Somebody's stealing our sheep. Somebody's stealing our church people. What's happening? Let's go check it out. Snooping around, poking around. 5,000 of them converted. Now all the religious leaders come. Now what's going on? What's going on? They begin to ask questions. And somebody asked, no doubt, a very good question that would have been generated out of Deuteronomy chapter 13, because the scripture says that if anyone does a miracle, it is to be inquired about how that miracle was performed. Was it in the name of God or was it in the name of somebody else? Which is interesting, because miracles can be done outside of God. Are you aware of that? God does miracles. But you know, Satan does miracles as well. The Bible reveals them clearly to us. People follow crazy things. It's not God all the time. We have to be careful about that stuff. A lot of people get caught up into that. Oh, but the picture's weeping. Well, that's great, but what is it telling you? That Jesus Christ is Lord God, King of heaven and earth? That he died for your sins and rose from the dead? Good. But if it's telling you to put money in the bucket, then just dry its tears and walk away. I'm serious. Does it align with Scripture? And you might say, well, that's a little harsh. Let me say this. Jesus said in the end, right before he comes back, there will be great deception in the world with signs and wonders so profound that the believers during the tribulation period, if they were not saved, would follow those signs and wonders. That's radical. We need to be careful. Are we rooted and grounded in the Bible or what feels good? And so these guys are coming to make an inquiry about it. In verse 6, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. The whole big shebang, by the way, the ones that tried Jesus 2 months earlier and put him to death. Same group. And Peter, remember Peter? What was he doing during that time 2 months ago? Hiding. A little girl said, aren't you one of those? Not me. Big, burly fisherman Peter, wimpy, hiding. Now he's full of the Holy Spirit, standing in front of the same council. 71 members, plus probably a whole lot of other guys. The Sanhedrin. This is a serious setting. And we're proud of Peter. Awesome what he does here. It says in verse 7, and when they had sent them into the midst, they asked the great question right here. By what power or by what name Have you done this? And that's the first point of our message this morning. By what power? The power of the name of Jesus Christ. By what power, by what name have you done this? They make the inquiry. And Peter uses this opportunity now to deliver the message. And listen in verse 8 what he says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, I have that underlined in my Bible because notice it doesn't say, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to prophesy. It doesn't say, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to raise the dead through the gifts of miracles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't speak in tongues. And I believe in all of those gifts. But the Bible says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke to them. And he spoke to them with power. And look how he speaks. And by the way, if you don't mind me saying so, that's what we need today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that we might speak the word with boldness. That we might be able to give to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. When somebody says, hey, you know what? Why are you a Christian? Let me call the church. Find out why I'm a Christian. Call 1-800, are you saved? You ought to be able to give an answer. Because if you're in that condition right now this morning, then you can easily be talked out of Christianity into something. You need to know what you believe. Man, Peter stands up. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And he says, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to help to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, he's from Texas, you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Man, just a concise delivery, boom. And you see Peter, if you've been with us the last couple weeks, he throws in that thing, who you crucified. This is the third message. It's the third time he said it. He's nailing them. By what authority? By what power are you doing this? Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, 9, and 10, Peter in the Greek delivers this with sarcasm. It's literally built in. It is a statement that he makes. It's a message that he delivers that if you were to hear today, you would think, well, that's pretty rude. I don't know if you ever had a chance to hear Walter Martin preach. I've had the chance to hear him preach. He's in heaven now, but I saw him quite a few times. And if you did not see his face, you would think that he was ripping people up and spitting them out of the church. I mean, it sounded violent, but all the time he was weeping and smiling and going like this, and he'd be going, you're going to burn if you don't accept Christ. So accept him. He got a big smile on his face, you know. And you had to see him to appreciate him. And Peter is doing this, and I want you to understand this. Rulers of Israel, all you people, he says, this miracle, these words, this thing was done. He begins to deliver, and it's a sarcasm because what he says here, he says in verse 9, if we this day are being judged for a good deed, are we in trouble for a good deed, is what he would be saying. Have you arrested us for doing something good?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Old Meets the New. It's a look at the first 23 verses of Acts chapter 4. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more in this study. In the meantime, you can hear this program once again simply by paying us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.